I appreciate the privilege of being here very much. And I realize the congregation here in the past couple of years has been through a lot. I want you to know the saints' hearts are with you. Many prayers have gone up for this congregation. We know the Lord is there. I'd like to share Mark's story with you. Mark said, "My mother would be at all my sporting events. If the play went a certain way, my mother would be running along the sideline yelling, 'Mark, get up, get up!' I would get in a huddle and with the other guys and they would ask, 'Mark, is that your mother?' I would say, 'No, I never saw her in my life.' The greatest gift my mother ever gave me was that she believed in me. I overdosed on drugs on three occasions where I should have been dead. I hung out with losers, and I became the biggest loser of them all because I gave up everything I dreamed about as a little boy. All because of who I chose to surround myself with. My friends would drive me home at 2, 3, or 4 o'clock in the morning. We'd be drunk and high, laughing in the car. We'd pull up to the house, and they'd say, 'Mark, Mark, the light's on.' I'd say, 'Oh, man, my mother's up.' My mom wouldn't go to bed until she knew her son was still alive. I'd walk in and she'd say, 'Hi, Mark, how was your night?' I would say, 'It was good, Mom, let's go to bed.' She would say, 'Can I talk to you for a minute?' I would say, 'Mom, I'm tired, let's just go to bed.' She'd say, 'Mark, I haven't seen you all day and all night. Can I please talk to you?' I'd say, 'Just leave me alone, you bug me.' I'd slam my bedroom door on the one person who believed in me. I was on a worldwide tour and we were wrestling in Japan. After the wrestling match, I went up to my hotel room and fell asleep. There was a knock on the door at 3 o'clock in the morning. I got out of bed. It was the Japanese promoter. He said, 'Mark, you need to call home. There's been an emergency.' I called back to the United States and asked, 'What's going on?' They said, 'Mark, I don't know how to tell you this.' I said, 'Just tell me what happened.' Then they started crying and said, 'Mark, I can't tell you.' I said, 'Just say it.' They said, 'Mark, your mother died.' I threw the phone down. I ran out into the street. There were no cars at 3 o'clock in the morning. I walked into the middle of the street in Hiroshima, Japan. And I remember looking up and just saying, 'Mom, I am so sorry.' I flew home for her funeral. I was too nervous to walk up to her casket, so I just stood way in the back. I kept looking from a distance and thinking to myself, 'Mom, please wake up. Please get up.' Then I finally got up the nerve to walk up to her. As I got closer, I could see my mom for the first time. She was so beautiful. She was dressed in white. She looked like an angel. I stood over her and said, 'Mom, you are my hero. You gave me a life. You're the only one that ever believed in me. And how did I repay her? By getting drunk, by getting high, by getting stupid, by hanging out with losers. For what? All she ever wanted to do was to talk with me. I wish I could talk with you now, Mom. I wish you could see what I'm doing. Why couldn't I have been a better son?' We are defined by our choices. If you surround yourself with people involved in drugs and alcohol and pills, it's a dead end. I'm not here to preach to you. I'm here to tell you that I lived that life. It leads to broken hearts, broken relationships, broken dreams, and death. For what? To get high? If you have a mother or father, when you go home, tell them how much you love them. Amen. My whole life was about being rich and famous. I had to be a millionaire. I had to win the race at the expense of my marriage, my friends. For what? To be all alone in the world? I learned what is truly important. How precious this gift of life is, our families, and how quickly it can be taken away. It's not what's in your pocket that matters, it's what's in your heart. I want to ask you tonight, what is the most significant thing in this story? Is it the fact that Mark was successful in his sports career to the point that he was able to go on a worldwide tour? Is it whether or not Mark won the wrestling match in Hiroshima? I notice he didn't even say who won the match. I think that lost all its importance, didn't it? Is the most significant part of this story the fact that Mark messed up so badly in his life? Is it the fact that he had a mother that loved him? I want to say the most significant part of this story is the fact that Mark came to a place in his life of repentance. Now, I don't know to what degree Mark understood the gospel, but he came to a place of awakening, a place of realizing what is important in life. One of the saints had a brother named Ray, and Ray was dying with cancer. I heard that Ray was seeking the Lord, and I went to visit him before he died. And I asked Ray if he had asked the Lord to forgive him of his sins. And Ray said yes. And Ray began making confession of sin. And I asked Ray if he had forgiven all those that have done him wrong. And Ray indicated he had. And then I asked Ray if there was anyone from whom he needed to ask forgiveness. And Ray began mentioning names. And he began asking forgiveness of those person after person after person as if they were in the room with him. It touched my heart. And I believe it moved the heart of God. Because you see, repentance is something simple. It is not something that is so complex that we cannot get to it. Sometimes we may feel like we've gone so far, we've done so much, that there is no way that it can be restored. But I want to say repentance is really simple. Repentance is sorrow for anything said or done. Repentance is the pain or grief which a person experiences as a consequence of the injury or inconvenience he has inflicted on another. Has anyone here done that? Have you ever inflicted injury or grief on somebody else, inconvenience? Repentance is deep sorrow for an offense to God and a violation of His holy law. This is important. This sorrow is accompanied by a change of life. Repentance is a change of mind, a conversion from following sin to following God. Repentance is more than just lip service. It's more than a New Year's resolution. It is a change of life, a conversion. Repentance is giving up any practice after becoming convinced that it has offended God. Repentance is a central theme of the gospel. Let's turn to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, The word of God, verse 2, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then he said to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. And begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? I think that's a real good question to ask. When we recognize there is sin in our lives, when the Word of God goes forth, when the conviction of the Holy Spirit touches our hearts, this is what we ought to ask. What shall I do? He answereth and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Those of you that are living selfish lives, have a heart of generosity. Yes. Seek out those that are in need. Seek out the Lazarus that is lying there and longing for the crumbs that fall from the table. Look for opportunities to be a giver rather than a receiver. What shall we do? Change your heart to become a generous person instead of a selfish person. Then came also publicans to be baptized and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? The publicans were tax collectors. And they were notorious for cheating. In fact, they could become rich in their profession. What shall we do, Master? I imagine these folks were convicted. I imagine they were thinking about this time and that time that they had slipped a little money into their pocket, or they told him, you owe this much, and really they owed less. What shall we do? You said, there's fire coming. What are we going to do here? He said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. Be fair, be just, be honest. There's a God in heaven watching. And he's looking and he sees everything that you're cheating. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, and saying, what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man. The soldiers had the authority of the Roman government. They were armed. They had advantage over other people. Get the violence out of your heart. Don't accuse people falsely. Don't take advantage of the position that you have in life to do harm to other people. And as the people were in expectation, all men mused in their hearts of John whether or not he were Christ. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner. But the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. There's fire coming. There's good cause to be repenting. Repentance was the central theme of John's ministry. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 12. Matthew 4 and 12, Jesus heard that John was cast into prison and he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast and the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. To them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up." From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent." You notice that was the foundation of Jesus' ministry?
Yes.
That was the start of Jesus' ministry?
Yes.
To repent. To turn away from your sins. The angel told Joseph concerning Mary that she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This message is missing in the modern church world today. The message of repentance seems to be lost somewhere. They're saying, just accept the Lord as your Savior. Just put your trust in Jesus. And they're missing the message that was core to the ministry of Jesus, to the ministry of John, and that is to turn away from your sins. Quit doing the things you've been doing. There's fire coming. Do you remember the story of King Ahab? The king saw a vineyard that his neighbor had right next to the palace. He desired that vineyard. I don't know, maybe it had the best grapes around. But he wanted that vineyard. And King Ahab tried to negotiate a deal with Naboth. "Naboth, sell me your vineyard or I'll give you another in exchange for it." And Naboth would not do it. And the king was so displeased. And when Jezebel, the wife of the king, found out, she had Naboth put to death. And after Naboth was conveniently out of the way, King Ahab went down to possess the vineyard. But the prophet of the Lord met him there. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 21. First Kings chapter 21 and verse 17. The word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, even shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine." Did you know when Naboth's blood fell to the ground, the Lord God saw that? The Lord was more concerned about the blood of a man than the possession of a vineyard. He's more concerned about the righteousness of our lives than the number of possessions that we can accumulate. He's more concerned that we make it to heaven than that we experience all the pleasures that this world has to offer. The Lord saw when the blood fell, and he brought that back. Let's drop down to let's go on with verse 20. "Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Verse 27, And it came to pass, when Ahab heard those words, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh. These were signs of mourning. And fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring evil in his days, but in his son's days I will bring evil upon his house." It said that Ahab put on the sackcloth and ashes. I'm sorry, the sackcloth, and he fasted, and he went softly. Proverbs 15:1 tells us, a soft answer turneth away wrath. A soft answer turneth away the wrath of our enemies. A soft answer turns away the wrath of God. Repentance is a soft answer to God. Luke chapter 15. Verse 11. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divideth unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he fain would have filled his belly with husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. I want you to notice the stages of life of the prodigal son. The son was in father's house. The next phase of his life was a far country, joining himself to a citizen, a foreign citizen. And the riotous living, he was the life of the party, he was popular, he had money to spend, he had friends, didn't he? And then the famine came. What inconvenient timing. It's better if the famine comes when you've got plenty of money, right? But you notice he spent all and then the famine came? Yes. Did you know that's the way it is in sin? Yes. That when you have spent all, then is when the famine comes and you are in trouble. That's right. But oh, thank God. This son woke up one day. He came to himself, the scripture said. That was an awakening, and he turned in his heart back to Father's house. And he went back home. And he humbled himself to his father, but his father was ready to brush that aside and say, kill the fatted calf. Bring the best robe. He was so glad to see his son again. I want you to notice that an awakening came first. An awakening in the repentance process. Paul said, awake thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give thee light. Wake up tonight if you are in sin. There are some stages of repentance. I hope you can read it. An awakening that I did wrong. Sometimes it's hard for people to admit that. Awakening that sin does not bring happiness. Like we heard this morning, yes, for a short time we may have some pleasure, but it doesn't bring happiness and fulfillment in life. In fact, the song says, once I roamed in sinful darkness, over mountain, hill, and plain, seeking everywhere for rest and finding none. Yes, my search for satisfaction, while in sin, was all in vain, but I found it in God's well-beloved Son. An awakening that the things that I was looking for happiness in, I couldn't find it there. Then a confession, an admission to God of our sins, that we are wrong, that we are sorry. A heart change. And what I mean by that is that we feel so strongly that if there was any way we could change, go back to the past and undo those sins we did, we would do it. A godly sorrow, not that we were caught, but that we did it. A resolve that we will never do it again. That's a part of real repentance. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. Second Corinthians 7:10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. When we repent of our sins and become saved, the salvation is something to hold on to. It's not something to turn back from. The beautiful part is that of restoration. No matter what we've done, how far we've gone, how awful our life has been, what shipwreck we have made, no matter what, the beauty is the Lord is offering restoration. Joel spoke of that in Joel chapter 2 and verse 23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Can I ever feel good about myself again? Will I ever find the peace, the innocency that I once had? Yes. There's restoration. There is hope. It is so beautiful. I am so glad that we have this good news that John brought us, that Jesus brought us, and the Lord wants us to consider tonight. Restitution is a part of true repentance. Zacchaeus, that rich man, said, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor." You notice he called him Lord. That was a confession of who Jesus was. Romans 10 and 9 tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's not hard. "Behold, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." A desire to make right the things that we have done wrong. Yes. I don't believe that repentance is a one-time thing. I believe we must maintain an attitude of sorrow about past sins. Yes. Our past sins are shameful. It's not something to brag about, especially if we've been in deep sin. We need to stay sorry that we have sinned. We need to recognize Egypt is bondage. We need to remember the whip of the masters, the crack of his whip. We need to remember how awful it was and what a great offense to God our sins are. This is a good time to ask the same question that Mark asked. He asked, "I did this for what? For what cause did I go out and get drunk and high and all those things? To be alone in this world? For what cause did I do it?" Tonight's a good time for us to ask that same question. What is the profit in sin? What has it done for me? Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 16. What have I gained from my sins? Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 16 says, "Wash you, make you clean. Put away evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now. And let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet," no matter how awful the sin is in your life, no matter how ashamed you are, no matter what shipwreck you have made, "they shall be white as snow." Isn't that a wonderful offer? "Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Mark said, "All she wanted to do is talk with me. Mark, just sit down with me for a minute. Just give me a minute here, Mark." You know, the Lord just wants to talk with us tonight. The Lord just wants to reason with you a little bit. Are you tired of the life you've been living? Has it been too much? Are you ashamed of it? Are you afraid of the fire that's coming? Here's a whole new start in life. Here is innocency I will give you. Here's a clean heart. How would you like a new start in life? How would you like a healed marriage, a healed relationship with you and whoever, a healed relationship between you and God? Here it is for you tonight, is what the Lord is saying. Come and let us reason together. Tonight I want to give an invitation. Maybe you're saved and doing all you know, but you just want to get closer to the Lord. Come and pray. It's a good time tonight. Or maybe you found yourself in one of these places. Tonight's a good time. The Lord is saying, come and let us reason together. Amen.